All right, good morning, everybody. Today is Tuesday, September 1st, 2015. And this is Before the First Cup with Jules here on UCY.TV. Happy Tuesday and happy September. We've made it out of the dog days of summer. We probably are going to get some heat, though, here from what I see in the future cast. But it has been pretty nippy here for the last week or week and a half. I already felt like fall. This morning it is 72 degrees with what they are saying is fog slash mist here in upstate. I don't know what that quite means, but it looks pretty overcast. Looks like it's going to rain, but I don't see any rain on the map. So I'm not sure what that's all about, but hot, humid, and muggy is coming. I hope all of you entered September with a smile on your face, because September is always the month to remember. I don't know. Things are going to get interesting here now that the vacation time is over and people can come back to the desk and start paying attention again. I know that as of tomorrow afternoon, I get some extra time during my day to put my nose to the grindstone and get a bunch of projects done that I've been hoping to get done for quite a while. So let's hope it is a good month and crazy stuff doesn't happen like it always does. So where do we leave off yesterday? I'll tell you where I left off. I left off with computer problems extraordinaire everywhere. My computer upstairs, I had to go lay down yesterday because I was so frustrated. Three computers has been all day. It had taken me 4 hours to cut a single MP3 because between trying to get it downloaded, once I got it downloaded, trying to open the application that had to merge the two channels, and then after I did that, trying to get it out of that app into my cutting app, nothing would open, nothing would work, nothing would download, no browser would work. I was ready, literally, to smash some machines yesterday. So this morning, I'd left my notebook for the entire evening yesterday because I just didn't care. I wasn't going to get aggravated. This morning, I get up to go check on it. My computer is frozen at 1:24 a.m. Like, everything is just frozen. The clock is frozen. The apps are frozen. I don't think I've ever really seen that happen in modern times. It was very, very odd. And when I rebooted, it appears now that there are some changes to where my little personalized icon for logging in no longer is the picture of my little personalized icon. It is now a little picture of the personalized Dell logo. So somebody did something to my machine. I'm telling you, for all the years I've been a tech, I have this one friend that insists I must have been the worst sucky tech ever with the computer problems that I have every single day. Never in my life have I seen so much bullshit as I've seen in the last few years since we've been doing this stuff. And it's not that I use my computer a lot. I've been using my computer a lot for 20 years. I probably work less now than I ever did back in the days of, you know, doing this for a living. I had some people, always had people on my ass to get projects done because time was money. You know, so it's not that I'm overusing my computers. There's definitely freaky stuff. We had, I got a message at the end of Anti-Media last night. They lost the whole show and they couldn't dial back in. And again, I log in and I see a strange error message that I've never quite seen before. Normally, if Skype goes haywire, it gives you this little application not responding up top. But instead, there was a big white box. The entire application was grayed out, still open, grayed out, and it just says not responding, but frozen with the time and everything, just like my computer upstairs. Now, come on. You know, and everything was fine all weekend. You know, I have my intermittent issues, but when I woke up yesterday morning, it was like there was syrup going on. They must have put me on a new list, and all the machines were at the top of the list to suck every bit of data down off these hard drives. That's what I really think they do, and that's why your whole connection gets jacked. You get the DNS, whatever it is, DNS internet not found errors. That's a new one, too, that's been popping up for the last few months, just out of the blue, can't find any website, though I can go to the computer next to it that's connected to the same cables and the same router, and the computer next to it that happens to be Vista, mind you, not Windows 7, not Windows 8 or Windows 10, Vista, good old Vista, that can get there just fine. I did see a story too, and maybe we'll go there quick. I was going to continue on from some of the stuff from yesterday, and we'll get there, but I wanted to bitch for a few minutes. You do not understand how frustrating this gets for me. I mean, it literally gets to the point where I almost feel like I can't do this on a daily basis when the battles are that hard. And I mean, I'm battling everything and I got 30 shows. And when I was a tech, I was so happy when I was no longer a tech anymore, because it was always dealing with somebody's problems, you know. And I really don't want to do that anymore. It's very stressful. It makes me sick to my stomach, like literally sick to my stomach. All right, here's a story getting into Windows and the spyware, because this is really pissing me off. I mean, they've ruined computers. We need to come up with an alternate internet, people, one that is not based upon any type of pipes that are being run by an entity that has puppet strings to any federal agency. This is out of Digital Journal. Not just 10. Microsoft caught spying on Windows 7 and 8 users too. Gee, who would have thunk it? Microsoft has been caught installing updates on Windows 7 and 8 computers that effectively introduced the same diagnostic telemetry technology used in Windows 10. And it undiscriminately uploads data to Microsoft servers, which is a privacy concern for many. Ding, 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 ding. Hence, my slower than shit syrup computers out of the blue just one day. For 24 hours, they all seem to be okay today. I had to do a hard power down on the one that was frozen, as well as on the Skype server. But I literally think I got hit here. The Eye of Sauron shone on UCY, and it passed by yesterday and sucked everything down. How disturbing is that to you? Because I know it's disturbing to me. Honestly, start taking close-up pictures of your nose hairs, your dirty toenails, your armpits, and make a big fat file that says something like insurgency. I don't know. Put something on your desk. And I mean, even though it sucks because it's going to affect your performance, give them a big fat middle finger, F you. I just am so angry over all this. And just every day it marches forward. You know, yesterday we talked about the new computer app that can analyze your speech to determine whether or not the machine believes that you're schizophrenic or has mental disorders. We're going to take a look today that there's a new treatment for that. It's just unbelievable. I mean, this has gone too far. Windows 10 is dipping into all your private folders. And not that they weren't doing that before, because the NSA absolutely was. I always knew when I was on the hit list, because your machine would throttle back like it was a 19.2 dial-up modem, you know, when it was just fine a few hours ago, and then a few hours would go by and whoop, everything's back to normal again. It's the mega suck, the data suck coming out of your machine. Same thing will happen to your phone if you haven't noticed that. Anyway, back to the story. Sorry, guys. It got my blood pressure up, and I'm still dealing with the after effects here. And this isn't like it's a new thing, though. You know, people used to go, whoop, oh, you're crazy, thinking people are spying on you. Well, you know, you shouldn't be saying that anymore. All of that came out. You know, regardless of what you think of Snowden, and I still think that there's, you know, everyone's like, he's a hero. Well, I think that there definitely was a double-edged sword there. Because all it did was it opened up full frontal nudity and said, yeah, what are you going to do about it? We're going to tell you we're spying on everything, but what are you going to do about it? Oh, what? There was a lawsuit against phone records because it's not legal. It's against the Constitution. Well, guess what? They just decided that, nah, the NSA can take all your phone records because it doesn't matter. And I said that's exactly what was going to happen. They don't give a shit. What do the alphabet agencies give a shit about what any Supreme Court says? Because even if they get caught, what's going to happen? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Just just like the CDC up in front of Congress about all the breaches in security, about all these killer, you know, ruin, kill everybody on planet Earth, 90% effectiveness diseases that they found sitting out in the open. They're going to do an internal study. They get the head of the CDC up in front of Congress. And what happens to him? Nothing. He's still in charge of the CDC. Nothing happens to any of these people. For as much as they screw up, for as much as they are breaking laws, nothing happens. All right, anyway, back to this. So Microsoft caught spying on Windows 7 and Windows 8 users too. Forbes reports on a discovery made by GHacks this week. A few days ago, Windows 7 and 8 users were likely prompted to restart to install updates. And isn't it amazing how many updates come down, not only between your operating system, but also Flash? And we discovered like 3 years ago through, it might have been a Forbes article, maybe a New York Times article, that places like that hacking team, and there was another company back then, I don't remember what their name was, but they've been making these backdoor applications that take advantage of vulnerabilities in Windows and different apps to get into your system anyway, if you were considered a target of interest. And the Alphabet agencies and law enforcement agencies around the globe have been purchasing these applications and utilizing them. So nothing is sacred. Nothing is private. There's an entire database out there with information on each and every one of us and everything we've done. And I saw now, all this stuff now is getting sucked back to Microsoft's Cyber Patrol Center. We might have to watch that video again if I can find it. We've watched it like 10 times, but, you know, death to Microsoft. That's all I got to say. Bill Gates has come into his seat of power after bending over in the early 2000s and giving the feds all the backdoor keys. They have now put him back into his position of power. He is working for the machine and working on depopulation. Bill Gates is definitely, for as much as the geeks all thought back in the 90s that Bill Gates was going to change the world, he sure did, just like Obama gave us hope and change. Which, that's not even funny. That like almost brings tears to my eyes. What a bunch of lying fucking sacks of shit. All right, anyway, Forbes reports on the discovery made by GHacks this week. A few days ago, Windows 7 and 8 users were likely prompted to restart to install updates, and that's probably when my Jules icon disappeared and the Dell icon appeared. A usual occurrence for those operating systems, and many probably did so without knowing what lay inside. The updates in question are KB3068708, KB3022345, KB3075249, and KB3080149. If you're not sure if you got those, you can go into Add and Remove Programs under Control Panel and take a look and see if those numbers are listed in your new programs that have been installed. It says, between them, they install the Diagnostics and Telemetry Tracking Service that is such a controversial component of Windows 10. And once installed, it immediately begins phoning home to Microsoft with apparently no option to stop it. Ding, 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 ding. There you go. So that must explain all of my computers. And by the way, only the one that I'm broadcasting on right now is Vista. The other three that I do all my work on are Windows 7. But that would explain how just apparently overnight I went from having functioning machines to machines that were worth absolutely nothing because I couldn't even get to a website. Back to the story. The data goes to, quote, vortex-win.data.microsoft.com and settings-win.data.microsoft.com. It bypasses Windows system files that ordinarily could allow users to prevent their devices from connecting to those servers, ensuring that the data is always uploaded. The addresses are hard-coded into the telemetry service, and as soon as it is running, it begins uploading. Like with Windows 10, 7 and 8 are now. Both continue to phone home to Microsoft even when the privacy controls are enabled. Although some concerns regarding the type of data uploaded are likely unfounded, well, so says you. No, Microsoft is not taking your personal files, well, so says you. Yes, it wants to know how much you use search, and the discovery does raise some important questions about Microsoft's usage of this information. I am going to say, don't believe or trust anything these assholes do, okay? Nothing. You know, the fact that they're bypassing all privacy controls, ding, ding. Okay, how much more proof do you need? You're not going to know what data they're taking. They could be taking anything. They could be opening your mics. Now we got Cyber Patrol in all of our offices. Regardless if we jumped on and took the free dangling carrot Windows 10, everybody upgrade. Look, we're going to give it to you free. Free upgrades, free upgrades. Line right up. Nothing is free, people. So they said, screw you, all you assholes that aren't going to take Windows 10. We've been flagging it in the tray here for a month now, and you wouldn't click on it. That means you're not brainwashed enough, so we're just going to install it without you knowing, making it look like it's a Windows update. Yeah. And then we're not going to tell you, and we're going to bypass all the privacy controls, but don't worry, because we're not taking your personal files. Oh, right. I believe that one. Currently, privacy concerns are a key reason cited by people who have not upgraded to Windows 10, and so they should be. Those users have made a conscious choice to stay on Windows 7 or 8 and are likely to feel that it should be respected. Absolutely! Installing the services that have created the refusal to upgrade isn't going to win Microsoft any favors in the long term, and it is unclear why it is opted to begin collecting telemetry and diagnostic data from Windows 7 and 8. Well, yeah, it is clear to me, dude, whoever's writing this story, Digital Journal, because they got their newfangled Microsoft Operations Center in Seattle that connects with law enforcement all over the world. And they can track and bag and tag every single one of us and see in real time what we're doing. Don't think that that doesn't exist. We have established that very well. You know, get DARPA Dan in there, which I'm sure he probably was in there, with whatever that X score program was to be able to search on anybody like lightning. I mean, this isn't rocket science anymore. When we look at the speed of supercomputing and all the crazy shit that they're doing now, this is not rocket science. They could be surveilling every single one of us in real time. It says it's unclear why Microsoft has opted to begin collecting telemetry and diagnostic data from Windows 7 and 8 systems. Although they are still supported, they only receive security upgrades and bug fixes, and it is unknown why Microsoft wants to monitor them in the same way as it does Windows 10. Well, I really hope that that is like a hypothetical dumb question for that story, because it is known. There's no doubt. Notice he doesn't mention Microsoft Cyber Patrol Center anywhere. Windows 7 and 8 users may feel somewhat alarmed at this discovery, but there is a way to remove the service once it is installed. Unlike with Windows 10, Windows 7 and 8 users have more control over updates, and eliminating these, like I said, should be just as easy as going to Program and Features in the Control Panel and in clicking Installed Updates or Programs. From there, each update can be removed and then added to the hidden list so the computer does not, you better delete them, so the computer does not try to automatically install them again in the future. So if you didn't catch those KBs, either rewind back, or I'm going to post this story in the notes. There were four files that that were installed just a few days ago that are doing all the spying now on Windows 7 and 8. And I'm telling you, it threw me into a tizzy here for the last couple days. I was so screwed up. Nothing would work. Not even hardwired machine, not two different networks. It didn't matter. Not a notebook, not a computer. It didn't matter. All right, so I wasted 22 minutes, but that was pretty important. I wanted to get that out there. So where do we leave off yesterday? And what's scary about this, you know, looking at diagnosing mental disorders from your voice patterns, as more and more of these corporations get their hooks into our data and are able to monitor what we do and what we say real time, and we have facial recognition, and now we know we have voice recognition. We have all these different biometrics. And Windows 10 actually had some sort of biometric password thing that we talked about a while ago that they were planning on using as well. I know that you can use soft voice prints. I don't know if 10 does that, but there are biometrics that use voice prints. Windows was talking about using some sort of combination between like a biometric and like the way you write or the way you click your mouse. There are different things that only one person does the same way every time. But, you know, with them being able to identify you at the drop of a pin and then do things like what? Oh, diagnose mental disorders at a distance. How disturbing is that? Because anybody who is deemed on the red list, anybody who's on that map, soon to be on that map in Microsoft Cyber Patrol Center, as a red pushpin flashing, beep, 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 could be a party to them doing, oh, I don't know, remote flashes of light, remote tones put out through your YouTube videos that you're listening to. I mean, there are all kinds of crazy technologies right now that they're experimenting with that we have no clue about. All right, so the show yesterday was titled Computers Diagnosing Mental Disorders. And that sure was a WTF if there ever was one. You know, not only are mental disorders something that Obama has talked about in regards to all these shootings that are going on everywhere. Yes, it's all about the mental disorders, not the drugs that they're feeding people that are causing, and I mentioned that yesterday, issues with drug metabolism with anyone who has a suppressed cytochrome P450 enzyme. Then, whoops, what happens? You have a suppressed cytochrome P450 enzyme after ingesting glyphosate. So anyone who's eaten foods treated with glyphosate and then been put on antidepressants has a capability of having a suppressed cytochrome P450 enzyme. And then, hence, ergo, having violent reactions with these drugs. So as Obama is using these mass shootings and stating that they must be mentally unstable people that shouldn't have guns, not the pharmaceutical companies that are pumping them full of drugs and toxins, it's very interesting that as now we're talking about for the SAFE Act in New York, and I don't know if this is ever going to go any further. You know, Cuomo was kind of, he took it on the chin. People in New York were very pissed off after they passed that SAFE Act in the middle of the night without any public input. But there was another part to that, and one included psychological evaluations every 5 years, I believe, to be able to own a firearm. And Obama came out after Sandy Hook and made a comment about how they were going to put psychiatrists at the front line for deciding whether or not someone is capable of gun ownership. You know, and we've seen so many things happening then with vets coming back and being diagnosed with PTSD, and they can point to that and say, hey, you're not eligible to own a gun anymore. No, we just trained you to be an assassin and used you for our means overseas. You come back here, and now you've lost your rights because we damaged you. We gave you an emotional disorder by having you kill people. I mean, this is insane. And the thing is, I'm not going to argue that PTSD is not a real syndrome. I mean, anybody, think back to 9/11. I know having family living in New York City and being in New York myself and watching 9/11, I think that put me into some sort of PTSD for quite a while. I mean, it put a lot of people into this, you know, where it really caused a mass. I just cried a lot and thought that there was a terrorist under every bed. And that's exactly the reaction that they wanted to get out of us. It was fear, alert, not knowing which way is up anymore, panic, sadness, to make you incapable. So anyway, now we have, that came out of all that, now we have applications that can diagnose schizophrenia and potentially other mental disorders based upon your speech patterns. They also, yesterday we read a story that they also found that schizophrenia patients have different throat bacteria. So hey, Johnny, just a little throat swab, and we'll be able to tell whether or not you have a mental disorder. And don't worry about it, because we're going to put it into the database. You'll be forever bagged and tagged. And maybe, just maybe, we can come up with some way to cure your mental disorder and make you a happy little boy again. Well, hey, guess what? They might have come out with it. A nasal spray. Is that machines like us? A nasal spray for mental illness. Woohoo! I'm so excited. They are going to have a nasal spray to fix mental illness. Researchers at an, I don't know, University of IO. I don't know where that is. Maybe they'll mention it in Norway, maybe. Researchers at UIO have tested a new device for delivering hormone treatments for mental illness through the nose. This method was found to deliver medicine to the brain with few side effects. And yes, one of those entryways into the brain is through the nose. Also got to be careful through the eye as well. About 1 in every 100 Norwegians develop schizophrenia or autism in the course of their lifetime. And moreover, at any one time, some 20,000 people are receiving treatment for these problems. Many psychiatric disorders such as autism, schizophrenia, and bipolar disorder are characterized by poor social functioning. Well, look out, because oxytocin, yes, that's the love hormone. That's the hormone that makes you treat Fido like he's your child. That's also the hormone that when you are a new mom, you produce lots of that to bond with your child, that makes you a psychopathic mama bear when somebody goes after your child. Oxytocin is a hormone that influences social behavior and has shown promise for the treatment of mental illness. The love hormone. Researchers at UIO have now discovered that low doses of oxytocin may help patients with mental illness to better perceive social signals. As a part of this project, they have collaborated with the company called OptiNose. We might need to look them up. We might find some good pictures there. OptiNose, OptiNose, who have developed a new device designed to improve medicine delivery to the brain via the nose. Beep, beep, beep. Look out, people. They are talking about diagnosing mental illness with a computer and how easily to deliver medications for mental illness up the nose. When we looked into some of the early research into nanotechnology, how to cross the blood-brain barrier for nanotech was a big deal. And one of the things that we discovered in that 1,200-page book that I was scanning through was that the easiest way to pass the blood-brain barrier is to what? Inhalation. Yes, spraying in the air. And we've looked at all kinds of great things. Didn't we just look at the other day Monsanto spray on RNAi that isn't going to affect anybody? Don't worry about it. No. Well, inhalation is the easiest way to get materials into the body and to cross the blood-brain barrier. Back to the story. So Aptinose is the name of the company. Oxytocin has historically been known to play a crucial role in child rearing as it facilitates pregnancy, birth, and the release of milk during nursing. Further, oxytocin helps regulate cardiac functions and fluid levels. And most recent research has revealed the importance of oxytocin for social behavior. Oxytocin is a neuropeptide and was discovered in 1953. Peptides are a group of molecules that consists of chains of amino acids. And amino acids are also known as the building blocks of proteins. Yes, they are. Which we find in all types of cells. Oxytocin is produced in the hypothalamus, which is the brain's coordinating center for the hormone system. But because of oxytocin's role in social behavior, researchers have explored the possibility of administering the hormone for treatment of mental illness. And as oxytocin is a relatively large molecule, it does have trouble crossing the barrier between the brain and circulating blood. So, hey, let's just circumvent that shit and get it right into the brain. I mean, guys, do you understand how scary this shit is? They are discovering every workaround, just like on a computer operating system, the way that places like that hacking team utilized gaping holes, security holes in applications to get their backdoor malware onto your machine. They're doing that to our bodies now as well, as they're starting to understand every nuance and how all these neurochemical interactions work and how to build life from scratch utilizing DNA. They are probing every single weakness like a chink in the armor and finding ways to exploit that. So, hey, we found an easy way now to circumvent the protections of keeping shit out of your brain and going direct. Hey, that's a good thing. This will make you feel happy. As oxytocin is relatively a large molecule, it has trouble crossing the barrier between the brain and circulating blood, and thus, researchers have administered oxytocin to patients through the nose, as this route offers a direct pathway to the brain that bypasses this barrier. However, researchers have a poor understanding of how oxytocin reaches and affects the brain, but screw it, who cares? As long as we know how to get it in the back door, who gives a shit how it gets there? We need to do more human testing. The most effective dose for treatment has also received little research attention. See, it's not about the oxytocin. Because if it was, they'd be caring about exactly how it works and how much you need. But that hasn't really been a part of this. It's just how to bypass the blood-brain barrier. That's the golden prize. Professor Ole A. Andresen and his research team have collaborated with Aptinose on a project that evaluates two different doses of oxytocin and how they affect the way in which social signals are perceived. 16 healthy men received two different doses of oxytocin along with a placebo. Volunteers were also given an intravenous dose of oxytocin for a comparison of the effects of oxytocin in the circulating blood. Well, right. Like sneaking it in through the nose or just jamming it in a vein. Let's see who does better. And the research showed that only those administered a low dose of oxytocin experienced an effect on how they perceive social signals. Quote, the results showed that an intranasal administration, i.e. introducing oxytocin through the nose, affects the function of the brain. As no effect was observed after intravenous treatment, yes, because it was large and it blocked that blood-brain barrier, this indicates that intranasally administered oxytocin travels directly to the brain, as we have long believed. The fact that, see, I told you, it's not about the oxytocin. It was about how to get into the brain. The fact that we've shown the efficacy of a low dose of oxytocin on social perception is even more important. A dose that is lower, but that still influences behavior. Ding, ding. Remember, people, it's all going to be about influencing your behavior. They're already doing that. And if they can't win the propaganda war, well, they're just going to have to work harder. And hey, what? You were diagnosed as mentally ill as they were recording your speech on your Skype call? I don't know. This is very scary stuff. This is not like the science that our mothers had. This is not the little street corner doctor's office that was about giving you two aspirins and saying, call me in the morning. This is insidious. All in the name of helping cure you. A dose that is lower, but that still influences behavior, will entail a lower risk of affecting other regulatory systems in the body. Very high doses of oxytocin could, in fact, have the opposite effect on social behavior. Scientists have also discovered that individuals with larger nasal cavities had a stronger response to a low dose of oxytocin. OptiNose uses a new technology to distribute medicine to the brain. Man, they're probably somebody to look into for investments. OptiNose. Get it in your brain quick. Making use of the user's breath to propel medicine deep into the nasal cavity. The device administers oxytocin high up into the patient's nasal cavity. And when the medicine is targeted deep into the nose, it enables the brain delivery along nerve pathways from the uppermost part of the nasal cavity. Conventional nasal spray devices are not suited to consistently deliver medicine high up through into the nose. This device also expands the nasal cavity, facilitating nose-to-brain medicine delivery. And as the user exhales into the device, this closes the soft palate and prevents the medicine from being lost down the throat. Oh, so make sure we get it all in the brain. Since less medicine is lost along the way, patients can take smaller doses and accordingly experience fewer side effects. The next step in this research is to carry out the same tests on people with mental illnesses. We are now running tests in volunteers diagnosed with autism spectrum disorders, and we hope that this research project is the first step in the development of a series of new medicines that may be of great help to more people with mental illness, concludes Professor Anderson. This study has been published in Translational Psychiatry. So there you go. Easy ways now to treat mental illness. Up your nose. We found a way around the blood-brain barrier. Nice and easy. How amazing is that? Well, I'll tell you how amazing that is. Scientists have successfully grown a human brain equivalent to a 5-week-old fetus in the lab. Yes, they have. The most complete brain ever grown in a lab, and 99% of all the genes have been accounted for. This is from the Mad Science Gone Mad file. Growing brain tissue in a dish has been done before. Yes, it has. But bold new research announced this week shows that scientists' ability to create human brains in the laboratory setting has come a long way quickly. Like, we wouldn't have believed that. Of course we would. Okay, sad. They keep telling us there's nothing to worry about. Don't worry. No, robots aren't going to take things over. No, artificial intelligence isn't going to, like, rule the world and lock us up for our own safety. No, don't worry about it. It's all in your head. This technology isn't moving that fast. And then we start reading these technology briefs, and guess what? It is. You just don't see it yet because there aren't antlers robots marching down the street. So go back to sleep, put on your reality TV, and get sucked into your mobile device. Because it's not happening. Shh. These are not the droids you're looking for. They're playing a game, people. This is happening. It is happening so fast right now. And because you don't see it means it's not real. No, it is real. And one day, this is all just going to be backdoored and integrated like they snuck GMOs into the food supply. What'd we find out? 1992 was the first GMO tomato called Ready Serve or something. And nobody ever knew. Researchers at Ohio State University in the U.S., this is out of an Australian publication called ScienceAlert.com, claim to have developed the most complete laboratory-grown brain ever, creating a model with the brain maturity of a five-week-old fetus. The brain, which is approximately the size of a pencil eraser, contains 99% of the genes that would be present in a natural human fetal brain. Quote, it not only looks like the developing brain, but its diverse cell types express nearly all the genes like a brain, says Rene Anad, professor of biological chemistry and pharmacology at Ohio State and lead researcher on the brain model, said in a statement. We have struggled for a long time trying to solve complex brain disease problems that cause tremendous pain and suffering. You know, don't forget, like we said yesterday, this brain project isn't just a U.S. thing that's involving federal government, national institutes of health, all the high-end research, higher educational institutions, and high-tech companies. But also it's international. This research is happening all over the world to crack the mysteries of the brain. Once they've cracked the mysteries of the brain and they can predict your actions just by your voice, predict that software we're reading about to predict schizophrenia, they can predict the future of what you might do by your voice. And by how you're stringing words together in a sentence. And that's just today. Fast forward, 2 years from now. Especially looking at how technology improves exponentially year after year. This is very frightening. And now we're growing human brains, 99% of all the genes. Human brains in a laboratory. All right, back to the story. Quote, we've struggled for a long time to solve complex brain disease problems, ding, ding, that cause tremendous pain and suffering. Step right up. The power of this brain model bodes very well for human health because it gives us better and more relevant options to test and develop therapeutics in other than rodents. Anad term stem cells, engineered 4 years ago after his specialized field of research examining the relationships between nicotinic receptors, so I'm assuming that that's nicotine receptors in the brain, and central nervous system disorders, and ran into complications using rodent specimens. Despite having limited funds, Anand and his colleagues succeeded with a proprietary technique which they are now in the process of commercializing. the brain that they have developed is a virtually complete recreation of a human fetal brain, primarily missing only a vascular system. In other words, all of the blood vessels. Well, don't worry about it, because they'll have that figured out here in no time. But everything else, the spinal cord, the main brain regions, the multiple cell types, the signaling circuitry is all there. And what's more, it's functioning with high resolution imaging of the brain model showing functioning of neurons and brain cells. Now, this should make tears start to form in your eyes. Where is the sanctity of life? There is a living brain that obviously is thinking or doing something, that was created artificially from stem cells in a petri dish. And now it's working. Is it cognizant? Does it know what's happening to it? Like, how horrifying are these ethical questions? And you know, today it might be a petri dish with a 5-week-old-esque embryonic brain, but tomorrow, that brain's going to grow up. It's going to be a full-sized brain. Then they'll be uploading your memories to it. I mean, think about where this can lead. They can experiment on it and figure out how it's going to affect Johnny's brain when they shoot the next drug up his nose from Nasal Ranger. No, I don't remember what their name was. The Nasal Company. This is very horrifying. The researchers say that it takes 15 weeks to grow a lab-developed brain to the equivalent of a 5-week-old fetal human brain. And the longer the maturation process, the more complete the organoid will become. If we let it go to 16 or 20 weeks, that might complete it, filling in that 1% of missing genes. We do not know yet, says Anand. Well, I'm sure they're going to continue, and maybe we'll find out. Maybe we won't. The scientific benefit of growing human brains in the lab is that it enables high-end research into, yes, human diseases, because it's all about curing you. And now that, hey, what did we find out the other day? Dementia. We have this explosion of dementia and people fording it over. So with all this dementia and 50% of all children being autistic here by, what was the number, 2020, we found out from that MIT scientist. It's all about curing you. Not about how to control the brain or your thoughts or replace memories, wipe you clean and put new ones in. No. It's all about curing your mental illness. And you know what? If you don't agree with what's going on right now, and we talked about this, mad science gone mad. If you're not a believer in the religion of science that has sprouted, the magic, wave the magic wand to give us this utopian society that's coming. If you do not believe, you must have a mental illness. What did we find out? What was the one of the ones in the DSM-5, that oppositional disorder? Or the other one that we just found out about, I don't remember what it was called, but for people who are really picky about their food and think that there might be poisons in our food, so we have a mental disease because we want to eat healthy. Yes, we will all be treated in the future because it will be ethical. Can't have mentally unstable, crazy people running around in society. And now we have cures for all those things. Because we experimented on our petri dish brain. You know, remember too, DARPA was creating a body on a chip. I would be very surprised if DARPA didn't have a hand in here. And if they don't, that they're not going to in the future. I mean, they created almost an entire 99% of a human brain in a petri dish. And if they give it another couple weeks, they might get 100%. For testing purposes only. The scientific benefit of growing human brains in a lab setting is that it enables high-end research into human diseases that cannot be completed using rodents. Yeah, like what? That new one that we have with the little, they had the rodent's head cut open. I talked about the story about a month ago. And they had this little electronic circuit board embedded right into the top of the rodent's brain. They were using push buttons to control the rodent by push buttoning different chemicals into the brain. So they would have different reactions. DARPA has been working on this to use on soldiers in the field. So when they start to feel anxious or afraid, they can give them a dose of like adrenaline and get rid of all that. So they can perform better. Yeah, just like that. Quote, in a central nervous system disease, this will enable studies of either underlying genetic susceptibility or purely environmental influences or a combination, said Anand. Genomic science infers that there are up to 600 genes that give rise to autism, but we're stuck there. Mathematical correlations and statistical methods are insufficient in themselves to identify the causation. Yeah, it doesn't have anything to do with any of these genetically modified foods that are being fed into our bodies with all this errant DNA that what? Oh, is being absorbed into our DNA. No, nothing of that. No, nothing to do with the MMR vaccine that we discovered. The CDC covered up the research that showed the direct connection between the MMR vaccine and potential autism. No. No, it's not any of that. We need to grow brains in a petri dish so we can use genomic science to decode even further and use that to our advantage. So mathematical correlations and statistical methods are insufficient in themselves to identify causation. You need an experimental system, he says. You need a human brain. Dun, dun, dun. This research was presented this week at where the Military Health System Research Symposium. Tell me the DARPA wasn't there because I won't believe you. And when I clicked on the link to the army.mil page, I get a big red X and it says, your connection is not private. Attackers might be trying to steal your information from the link.army.mil. Go back to safety and there's a big blue button. And then there's a little line that says advanced. And if I click on advanced, it says this server could not prove that the army.mil and its security certificate is trusted by your computer. But if you go really, really far down to the real tiny small print, it says proceed to army.mil and then in parentheses, unsafe. Be afraid. Be very afraid when you are trying to get to the root and research some information. Yes, they frightened me so bad that I would not click on that link. And let's take a look at this medical health military event. It was August 17th to 20th, 2015. How interesting, too, because location is still to be determined. But wait, it just happened. So their main page doesn't even give a location? Must have been super secret. Here's the registration. Here's the about. Come on. Were there literally growing human brains and we had a military symposium? The MHSRS is the Department of Defense's premier scientific meeting. It is a venue for communicating and discussing new scientific knowledge resulting from military unique research and development. It is the only military or civilian meeting that focuses specifically on the unique medical needs of the warfighter. The MHSRS provides a scholarly forum for the planning and development of future studies aimed at optimizing care for members of the uniformed services in operational settings. and held in a collaborative joint setting. It enables military medical care providers with deployment experience to exchange information with the Department of Defense and academic scientists, international partners, and industry on research and related healthcare initiatives falling under the topic areas of combat casualty care, military operational medicine, clinical and rehabilitative medicine, and military infectious disease. Oh, I bet there was a gaggle of geese at this symposium. Its goal is to maximize research synergy among all of the branches of military service while acknowledging the need for service-specific medical capabilities. And so this company that was growing brains in the lab presented their research to that symposium this month. How awesome is that? All right. Well, I don't know. I'm running out of time here real quickly. Maybe we'll take a look. I don't know what I want to take a look at here. Here we go. Well, I don't know. Let's see how much time. Let's see how much time. My clock doesn't click. Oh, we got a minute 30. I could do this. Here's a good one for you. All in the name of vaccines. Yes, we've been saying this forever about shedding viruses, which the pharmaceutical corporations have denied. Well, here we go. A man in the UK has been shedding live polio for nearly 30 years. Global advancements in the fight against polio have seen all but two countries declared free of the disease, with Pakistan and Afghanistan being the two remaining countries where the disease is being circulated. But an alarming new study describes the case of an anonymous male patient in the UK who has carried the virus in his body for almost 30 years. Researchers from the National Institute for Biological Standards and Control analyzed more than 100 stool samples from the man collected over a 20-year period and found that each and every one contained high levels of the polio strain. How could this be? After all, the man in question has received his full course of childhood vaccinations with an oral polio vaccine administered at 5, 7, and 12 months of age, plus a booster when he was 7. According to the study, he was later diagnosed with a common variable immunodeficiency, which means his immune system couldn't adequately kill off the small amount of virus delivered to his digestive tract by vaccinations. And guys, that's it. We are plumb out of time. Make sure you stick around. It is Tuesday night, live radio on Tuesday. Mr. Kevin Blanche live up next. We have Game On with Ron at 7, 8 with JJ, 9 with Prime Time. Have an